The U.S. pullout from the Paris Accord was expected, and with it, a chorus of critics from the environmentalist community. That would not include climate and ecological advocate Stuart Scott. He's held a contrarian view of the agreement since its inception, but not for the reasons you might think. Stuart Scott is back at home in Honolulu after a trip to the EU, and he's in our studio now. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Beth Ann. I'm very glad to be here.
Now, you have been critical of the Paris Accord, and some might find that strange because you've been so involved with the environmentalist movement here and worldwide. What led to your contrarian view?
Well, I was there in Paris, and I wrote an op-ed piece after it was completed. And I'll just read you a sentence that'll answer that question perfectly. It means as much then as it does now. Developed nations forced through a sufficiently weak document that a climate catastrophe is unlikely to be avoided. Instead, they took a step way back in order to kick the can way down the road across multiple decades and election cycles, much past the point where tipping points will lead to irreversible, self-amplifying, possibly runaway conditions. In other words, it was a sham agreement just for the purpose of slapping one another on the back and saying we did good. It was a stick in the mud, and it's very hard to ratchet up ambition, as the UN speak goes, to a stick placed in the mud.
That stick, though, has been much lauded, and now there are many who are angry at the United States for its withdrawal from this agreement when you have over 195 countries who decide that this is a good thing. How do you turn that tide?
Okay, let me go back to the November of last year, where I was at the climate negotiations again that were in Marrakesh, COP22. And the day after Trump was elected president, there was a pallor that came over the negotiations. People were just stunned. And the day after that, I encountered a gentleman, part of the UN Climate Secretariat's press corps, who I've known for years, and spoke with him and asked him what their perception, what the perception of the UN was. And of course, he said it's not very, not a very good one, you know. Everyone was very depressed about, demoralized. And I said to him, well, it's going to have to get bad before it gets better. And this will make it a lot worse a lot more quickly, and perhaps there'll be a boomerang effect. And to me, that is the silver lining in Trump pulling out of a bad agreement. Now, it's not that it was a bad agreement for the U.S. It was a bad agreement for the people of Earth. It was an agreement that favored the financial and business sectors over the well-being of future humanity. That is, make money now, the future be damned, was the way that I saw the agreement. And so Trump pulling out focuses everyone else on that ratcheting up of ambition.
In the ensuing time that we've had this agreement since 2015, have you been back in touch with this UN press secretary?
Yes, I actually wrote him an email yesterday, anticipating we'd be speaking today, and asked him – well, I sent him an email from 350.org, another famous environmentalist organization, saying that we've just presented 2.5 million signatures from around the world to the UN supporting the Paris Agreement and protesting the U.S. withdrawal. And I asked him, isn't this what we spoke about in Marrakesh? And what is the view from your side of the world now? And his response, he's very busy, was one word, elated. This is the silver lining, that Trump is the perfect villain, perhaps. He's personifying the businessman who says, make money, forget about everything else. And so he is energizing the environmentalist base around the world and the commitments that other nations have made.
You say now that the withdrawal from the Paris Accord could have some of these positive effects in galvanizing everyone.
Yes.
How would you see that happening? And within the confines of the UN, given the response that you just received from this press secretary friend of yours, mm-hmm. What do you think would be a course of action that we might see coming from the UN?
Coming from the UN. The UN is just a facilitator. They try to bring the parties together. The quote-unquote ambition to do something about it is up to the parties. And I think that's now coming from the grassroots level. I think that shall we say, the world is ganging up on the United States in a very good sense. It's not about one nation and the success of one nation. It's all of us sink or swim together. This is not a zero-sum game where I can win what you lose. This is an all-of-us-win or all-of-us-lose game. So I see the UN's best strategy would be to capitalize on this, to let the United States do what they're going to do and bring everyone else along to a stronger agreement, stronger than Paris, because Paris was exceedingly weak.
When you have so many countries, 195 of them, who are, as you say, ganging up on the United States and believing that the United States is in the wrong with this, clearly they feel that this is a good thing. How do you change their minds and make them take action on a piece of work that you think isn't effective at all, given what it was supposed to do or what the hopes were at least going into it?
Well, there are a million things that can be done, and that has to be done by a million people. I think everyone who's concerned needs to find some way that they can put their shoulder to the wheel and push, whether it's through the environmental organizations that are out there and doing great work, or letters to the editor, personally downsizing one's own ecological footprint. There are a lot of things that need to be done. Where I work is the awareness, trying to disseminate the awareness that this is a much more serious problem than ocean rise in 2100. Our media, unfortunately, goes along with the pronouncements of certain leaders who I think downplay the problem. I think we have a very, very severe problem. I'm trying to get everybody aware that this is really coming at us very soon.
How do you see environmentalists coalescing around that message when, again, they too, like many of the countries that we've talked about, believe that Paris was a good start?
Well, I think the current wave of demonstrations that we're seeing is a very good thing. I said several years ago that the point at which people are coming out in the streets will know that society is finally getting it.
Hawaii just became the first state to pass legislation that makes law of parts of the accord. We heard this yesterday.
Wonderful.
To reduce greenhouse gas emissions and create a carbon farming task force. Hundreds of cities and states across the country are now in an alliance to act similarly. We saw tweets coming from Mayor Caldwell today, from the governor yesterday and today. What would you encourage all of them to consider beyond this pledge of solidarity?
Eternal vigilance. I think that's part of a quote from American history. I can't remember the full quote now, but we can't just rest on legislation and proclamations. We have to stay in there and make sure that Governor Ige lives up to the promise in that bill that he just signed into law.
And specifically, what would that mean to live up to that promise?
Well, I know when he was elected, he said that we were going to his goal was that 20% of the food supply for the islands should be grown in the islands by the year 2020. I may be getting the numbers not quite right, but then he softened that. He realized that was not doable, or not doable under the current assumptions. The current assumptions are that we have to stop. This is my personal pet peeve. We have to stop building on the best farmland on the island, Ho'opili and Koa Ridge in particular. Now, those are perhaps done deals, but if they can be reversed, I think we're sacrificing the food security of our children to those two developments.
Stuart Scott, we need to leave it there. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Stuart Scott is the executive director of the United Planet Faith and Science Initiative, which he founded. He records Climate Matters TV shows at the annual UN Climate Negotiation.